have the most complex jurisdiction in the country. We have 125 separate elected, 125 incorporated municipalities within the county of Cook. That excludes the city of Chicago, which has its own health department. But within there, we have to imagine trying to let's move all this campaign when you're trying to move 125 separately elected officials, city councils, over 1,000 school districts, in addition to two governing boards that govern the health department, a board president, a chair person, a CEO. So imagine trying to move this policy agenda among those individuals. So I'm just going to take a few minutes and just describe what we had in terms of leadership, in terms of our challenges. And then who will be following behind me is Dr. Damon Arnold, who is the past director of the Illinois Department of Public Health. We both, I guess, I don't want to say retired.
No, we moved on.
We moved on the same day. However, we were awarded back in 2009 one of the communities putting prevention to work efforts, and we received $16 million for our program. And we built our program around four pillars: healthy communities, empowering our eliminating health disparities, and empowering our individuals, and also preventing disease. So these were kind of our four pillars that we built our program around, but really our program was really bent on empowering the individual at the local level, because we knew that we could, in our complex jurisdiction, we could not move these policies. And that's really where you drive to make a community healthy, where we found, yes, I could have gone to my county board and say, let's do this, let's implement it, but it wouldn't have been received down to that city council or that village council or that town council in terms of really taking hold of that policy and really implementing in that. So what we did was we used the tools that have been out there, the social marketing, social networking. We created the Alliance for Healthy Communities. And in that, we started bringing 2.3 million people together into this alliance, and they started blogging about what they were doing in terms of moving their mayors, who are their neighbors and their friends, their school board presidents, into this campaign of getting healthy. And through that, I kept the county board away from that and had them really focused on how can we work on our county health system and how we can improve those, improve or really shift how we were providing public medicine instead of public health. So in that, we have we were hopeful to get one of these community transformation grants to continue on, but I don't think we got selected. That was unfortunate. And that's one of the issues that in leadership that I saw a challenge in terms of educating our county board that when this money leaves us, and our role here as in public health leadership was to continue that funding into our program. And we were able to get that into our budget, but due to our current economic recession, it just got stripped out, which was unfortunate. But more importantly, what we did see and wind up coming out of this is that roughly about 30 to 40 municipalities actually took hold of this project and actually took it and went further without us, which is really what we wanted. They started getting together with their surrounding villages, and instead of creating one bike path in one village, it actually extended over regions of Cook County. Our forest preserves started getting involved into our effort because they wanted to, similar to the opening that we heard for the APHA conference, you heard the Park District, U.S. Park Service Chair, speak on prevention. We saw the same thing happen with our superintendent for our forest preserves, wanting to figure out not so much keep his job, but really change the direction of the forest preserve, encouraging walking and biking and using the forest preserve to actually get healthy. So we've seen these things happen in Cook County. And I'll just lastly say that also what we've seen is our school districts. And I'll just comment that We've seen some of our, we use some of our monies to actually take out of these unhealthy choices that were in the vending machines. And we actually subsidized some, as a pilot testing, healthy options in the school districts. And hopefully through that pilot testing, that as the kids got used to paying for the healthy options cheaper, that as we walk away with our funding, as the price incrementally goes up, that those kids will continue to choose those healthy options instead of those unhealthy options that seem to be cheaper and filling up our vending machines. So we seem to have very good success. But in a nutshell, all of this happened simply because we chose a position of, we weren't going to be the county health department that came and be an overlord in this process. We really synthesized that we want to be a technical partner with you, and we want to give you the tools that you needed to actually implement it at the local level, and you be the change and not us. And through that, that was been successful. So that was one of the keys in learning. My role as a director was to understand the role of the health department in this process, and really allow our community and our residents to really use their health department in the way they needed it, instead of us telling them what they need to do. So I'll end that. So, thank you.
Stephen has a way of keeping everything very, very real in his communications about what's going on in the community-based level. And he was very, I was just beginning school when he was actually already in the field, starting, no, football. So Stephen was in for 10 years in his position. I was in for 4 in mine. And Stephen had transformed what it means to be a person living in Cook County. Which is the largest county within the state of Illinois, but affected millions of lives and put some dynamic programs in place, which are still going on. He has transitioned to the American Hospital Association. That was his retirement joke. There's no such word anymore, so don't look in the dictionary. It's not there. we should actually erase it probably from the dictionary. That is not an option anymore, as we know. I was a colonel in the military, retired last year, and I've been in 23 different countries, 2 tours in Iraq, 9/11, down to Katrina. Stephen was from Louisiana. He was involved in a lot of the efforts also. These devastations happen all over the country. And one of the things I mentioned about 2.5 years ago is in a thing we were going through, the H1N1 response efforts, and I was sitting down with a group. I was actually working with ASTO as a representative for the states and talking about H1N1 responses. I made a comment, and I said, you know, in this country we have obesity, which is a national domestic security threat. And they said, what are you talking about? And I said, when I joined the military in 1984, we had a 3-5% rejection rate on induction physicals. It's now 27% nationally. There were 4 centers in the country where only 30% of the new recruits were actually taken in. 70% rejection rate due to people not being physically fit, being overweight, having high blood pressure, and diabetes at an early stage in their life. This is a reality. What does that mean? Why is it so important? Well, international defense may be a problem, right? You can't induct people. But what about the National Guard that responds to floods, hurricanes, tornadoes, plane crashes? Maybe a problem there too, right? But what about the person who is a fire captain? Why do we call them captains? And why do we call people captains and sergeants in the police force? Because they have a military standard. Their physicals are structured very similar to DOD standards. So now you have an infrastructure problem in your police and your fire department for recruits, right? Not only that, but you have a higher weight in your population, so people who are being extracted from emergency situations pose a greater risk, a greater problem for them. What about the hospital beds? Do you have enough hospital beds for a population in that size range? Actually, I even heard of one hospital where it decreased the number of its large, you know, beds for people for 250 pounds or over. Why were they doing that? Because they felt it was an economic threat to them. That was my final analysis of what they were doing. This happened in one of the states in this country. So people are going to start positioning themselves to stay away from the liability of the things that we're putting on ourselves. So if you can't pass the police in a physical, fire physical, what about the EMTs and paramedics? Where do you get them from? What about your laborers? You have a domestic and national security threat. Infrastructure, 17 critical infrastructure and key resource sectors, according to the Department of Homeland Security, all 17 of them are threatened by obesity. Last summer, the CDC said 1 in 3 children born in the year 2000 or after will develop diabetes in their lifetime. Diabetes in their lifetime. That means the leading cause of blindness for those 24 to 74 years old. That means the leading cause of non-traumatic amputations in the country, dialysis machine usage. Being overweight is the second leading risk factor for cancer, according to the American Cancer Society. Enough of a problem yet? Okay. So next slide, I guess I have to push. I just put this down because I was showing you the geopolitical situation, Democratic and Republican states. I gave Region 5, but everyone has their own region. I advise you to go back and take a look at your maps and find out how these things are sort of influencing your state, your lineup. Title 4 provisions, wellness and prevention, right? Title 5, workforce development. We have had a marked decrease in the number of people who are in the public health field over the last 10 years. We have had a decline of the number of people who are in the field. I was mentioning to someone that out of all the people who are graduating from schools of public health, only 5% go into public health. Maybe we're not formulating the right fields for people. Maybe we're not taking prevention seriously enough. Maybe we're not putting enough money into this. So this tidal wave that's coming, if 1 out of 3 people develop diabetes in the country and we have 300 million people in the country, you're talking about 100 million people at some point in the future having diabetes. Where are you going to get your workforce from? So we're trying to mitigate this tidal wave. So even if we use prevention and we were 90% successful, right, and we had 100 million people with diabetes, that means 10 million people with diabetes. That's if you're 90% successful. Name a strategy is 90% successful. That's prevention. Name one. What numbers are we talking about? 10%, 20%, 30% effectiveness? We can't even get people to immunize themselves here. We're lower than the third world countries. That takes one shot. Just come in, get your shot, nasal spray. And we can't get people to do that. And we're talking about a cultural transformation. Next slide. This is the CDC and prevention winnable battles. I always give a great amount of praise to HHS and the CDC. The reason is that they are the ones that are coming up with solutions. And what I see as part of the problem is that everyone kind of tries to reinvent the wheel. I said instead of reinventing the wheel, what we need to do is restructure the wheel. We need to look at the pieces that are out here that are working and put them into an alignment, because this base is based on our science. It's based on what we've understood about things. If someone walks up to me and tries to recreate a sodium atom again, I'm going to have a conniption. Why do I need someone to reinvent a sodium atom? And we have 50,000 models out here. We have one that works. Maybe we should use that one. Start looking at the best practices, the winnable battles. These are the 7 that have been listed. Out of these 7, obesity, tobacco abuse, and injury prevention. And I have motor vehicle injury prevention here, but this should be all injuries. Those are the 3 top ones. Tobacco actually is greater than almost all these things combined. Why is it important to mention these other things? Because they all intersect with obesity. You are greater risk for a poor outcome if you are overweight. Greater risk just to begin with. Next slide. Now, this is a different thing, and what I want everyone to do is play around with this exercise. I did this yesterday, so people who are in that room, don't even act like you know the answer already. What I'm going to ask you to do is I want you to spell some words out loud, then I want you to answer a question, okay? So you're going to answer a question as soon as you finish with these words. As soon as I ask you the question, you have to answer immediately. First word I want you to spell is crop.
C-R-O-P.
The next word is drop.
D-R-O-P.
The next word is cop.
C-O-P.
The next word is mop.
M-O-P.
The next word is crop.
C-R-O-P.
The next word is drop.
D-R-O-P.
The next word is mop.
M-O-P.
When you get to a green light, what do you do?
Stop. Oh, no, no.
Okay, let's go. I want to collect all the licenses. No, 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 I don't have to worry. I'm taking a plane, so maybe on the other end. Anyone from Chicago at the moment. So anyway, this is the thing. What that is called parallel processing. Your brain tries to find a common answer. So it's conserving energy. We are naturally made to conserve energy. So we start looking for that common answer, and we start looking for the common point. Think about this. If this just happened to you in a few seconds, what happens with repeated negative messaging about your health and what you should be? Constant. 1 minute to 1 hour to 1 week to 1 month to 1 year to a lifetime of the wrong messages being sent to you. And in your head, you're saying, donut, great.
Right.
You know, extra supreme latte, with cream and sprinkles, great. Right? And we start building this up in our head and we start responding automatically without even thinking. I'm a caveman. I have a little club and I'm in my cave and this bear comes in and I hit it over the head. Great, I just saved my life because the bear was looking for me. Next, a lion comes in, I hear a roar. I hit it over the head. Great, right? Then another animal comes in, hit it over the head. Ah, it's my dog. Why did it hit my dog and knock my dog out? Automatic habituation responses. Even if I'm doing things, if I become habituated, I can do things that are detrimental to myself. So we have to break these habits. What I have here is a thing called the, I just finished writing something, a book is coming out, but this is the energy matter spectrum, an excerpt from it. Instead of an electromagnetic magnetic spectrum, I created an energy matter spectrum. And this is from waves and subatomic particle physics all the way through the food chain. We are surrounded by energy matter relationships. I gave a talk in Taiwan on this because I equated energy with yang and matter with yin. All we're talking about is the balance between energy matter relationships. You know, as we're looking at things. So it's our consciousness, our emotions, you know, our spiritual connections. We are looking at all these things around us, whether it is asbestos in buildings or lead in paint or ultraviolet light on the top of a mountain or something in our food chain. We're talking about energy matter relationships. Now, taking the incorrect ones into our bodies leads to disease. In the south side and the west side of Chicago, I was talking to one of my friends who's a toxicologist and said, you know, the thing that we have to worry about is these chemicals on this shelf. And I said, you know, I've been in the military for quite a while, but I make no distinction between these things that are on the shelf, trans fats, right? High cholesterol foods, high caloric foods, and chemical warfare agents. They both have the same outcome, morbidity and premature mortality. Maybe different mechanisms, different timelines, but they're all chemicals. And they are causing a destructive effect in our bodies. So if we allow these harmful substances to be sold to human beings, we are actually engaging in some form, in my view of it, and knowingly and with intent to sell and distribute a harmful substance to humans in a form of chemical warfare. Okay. So these are the things that we have. We have community-wide campaigns, school-based physical education, individually adapted behavior change programs, and information and education outreach. Now, I want everyone to take your finger and make a pointing sign. And this is like about agents going through. And, you know, I don't have time to go through the correlation between this and occupational medicine and public health. Very strong correlation. Now, point to your mouth. That is the gateway to over 90% of chronic disease. Cigarette smoke, alcohol, illegal drugs, poisons, even sexually transmitted infections, right? Medication misuse. Drinking alcohol leading to the fetal alcohol spectrum disorders. What is driving things through our mouth? Our hand and our behavior. Our hand is actually involved with seatbelt use and all those other things too. I don't even talk about that. Early visits to the clinic, going to the gym, to the athletic trainer. Our hand is very powerful, and what we're putting in our mouth is driven by our behavior. Now, if you were addicted to things like stopping at green lights, think about being addicted to foods and what this is doing to you, or cigarette smoke, whatever you're putting through your mouth. We have an oral fixation in society. Maybe Freud would have something to say. This is the outline of where I think, you know, the federal, state, and community. I don't have time to go through all the different things, but you can look at the national organizations. I have the HHS and the CDC at the top. I think they should be viewed as our champions. Many people defray the federal government and say, oh, the federal government is not doing... everyone turned to the federal government, joined H1N1, said, what should we do? And they, thank God they were there with some answers to very hard questions that needed to be answered, and they did a phenomenal job. So we need to be in alignment at all levels in order to meet the objective of saving the population of people around us. The resources, however, are we can't always point to the federal government for resources. There are two resources, one which is free, and the other one, which we had to apply for and put our energy into. We have a public-private partnership platform, and that's what the state health improvement plan should be centered around, is this public-private partnership platform. The other one, which is free, is if you get a cup of coffee without any sugar or a latte supreme and sit down, or a cup of tea, it's your brain power. That's what's free. It's trying to figure out how to realign these pieces in your community setting, making sure that you start looking at how is my state health improvement plan structured. Now, why did I put framework after plan? Because a plan in the military means you can put a key in a vehicle and move and get going. A framework that says these are the things that are important that you need to be looking at. So I have the 7 winnable battles embedded in this, in the 9 priority health concerns. And these are the 5 priorities for access and other things that we were working on. It also integrates with the community. The SHIP framework actually goes through several different priorities, and I can leave this for you to take a look at. You need to look at your state health improvement plan. Start looking at the different organizations within your community and how to form relationships. I made a relationship. We have 9 YMCAs that are moving into this phase right now by taking a coordinated approach to children's health within the school system and putting it into the YMCA. Why YMCA? They're one of the non-governmental organizations. They're also, we're making them sit down with the Boys and Girls Clubs, with YWCA. We have 132 YMCAs in our state. They are the largest provider of after-school daycare in the state, bar none. They also are in very poor areas, rural areas, inner city areas, where the problem is the greatest. They also are the largest daycare provider in the state. We tied WIC into it. We actually have the link card as well. And they are communicating with the schools that are in their area so that they have before and after school connections. So it becomes part of the cultural transformation. Farmers markets, they love it. they came in and started saying, well, we're going to put our fresh fruits and vegetables inside the Y to sell to families through the WIC program, which increases the value of their card, overcomes a food desert obstacle, but also gives them an entire program, and we have a kiosk system that actually is part of that project. I can go into more detail with that, but it's structured. What did it cost in order to put that program together for the state? $0. It was a private partnerships that we were helping to align to make sure that they were set up correctly in the infrastructure of the state. So, you know, I can go through all these different things. We have very limited time, I know, so I'm just going to leave these things, and you can have them, look at them. You know, this is the last slide, is actually a helicopter. I was, with a striker unit for my first tour of duty there, second tour of duty. I was the flight surgeon, and reason why I like to show this slide is that you are in control of how your ship is going to land. And if you don't think, if you can't trust your instruments, you don't learn how to use them correctly, you don't have the correct approach, you're going to crash. So you have to work together as a team, collaborating. And I have a thing called Clannon model. C is for coercion, L is litigation, A is arbitration, M is mediation. In that whole sequence, you need to have someone else to step in to guide the two of you to come to a conclusion. And coercion is war-like ways. You're imposing your thing all the way down to mediation. Negotiation is the only thing outside the clam. That's where you should be. You need to support each other in order to make sure that your ship is landing correctly, because what's important are the people you're going to save out there. So thank you very much.